Okay, I'd like to call the October 1st Finance Committee to order. The first agenda item is approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Minutes approved. Next item is public comments. This is the opportunity for anybody in the audience to make any public comment that they would like.
If I may?
Sure.
Will Haney, 316 Mallard Court, Mount Pleasant. Tom, I want to thank you for your chairmanship of this committee. It's great to have somebody so knowledgeable running this committee. And Tom and I met last week, and this is a leadership moment in finance for the town of Mount Pleasant. And we agreed that we've got to look, we've got to leave no stone unturned. We know in the past that the town of Mount Pleasant built Hungry Neck Boulevard with its own funds, bounce savings, not cuts, not cutting services. Everybody here, right, if you're a member of the press, savings, not cuts, right? There's a big difference, and there's ways to do it. I wanted to mention one thing, and that is the takeaway from last Thursday's Dutch Dialogues. And that is the fact that, and this is a quote from there, depreciating property values hurt the private and the public sectors. And that, as we have seen just across in the city of Charleston, they are already having to reclaim developed property in shadow moss that is flood prone. So part of what we need to look at in the future is our flood resilience. We need a plan. They said from Louisiana, where they will spend $50 billion over the next 50 years, that the days of random acts of repair and restore are over. And we will be rated on our bonds by our flood resiliency plan. And so as we look forward, let's think about all of these things. And we know we have decisions to make in the next 5 years, but we are not at the decision points yet, nor do we have the decision facts yet, as you and I talked about. We don't know what our tax base is going to look like in 4 or 5 years. We don't know what our flooding is escalating in the low country. And this is not a climate change debate. This is only on observed water levels. And that's the way they keep it in Louisiana. As for fixing flooding, I sat with Senator Chip Campson, who represents part of Mount Pleasant, and he went back to Columbia to research for us creative ways to get stormwater fees. And just raising a flat fee where the Ayers property house that has a 750-square-foot footprint and the 8,000-square-foot new, you know, Mount Pleasant house that creates a lot more stormwater pay the exact same fee. So he's going to look and get back to us and let us know what the latitude under state law is for stormwater fees. All of these are data points that will get us to decision points down the road. And I appreciate you all looking at this, and let's do this together. They have a word that the Dutch have, and I'm not just talking about flooding. I'm talking about all finances. They call it a polder approach, and that means a solution achieved together. So let's do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, GM Whitley, 809 Post Oak Drive. As this committee knows, I recently wrote an editorial that appears in the Post and Courier and the Moultrie News, and in it I set forth what I see as the number one problem facing Mount Pleasant, which is long-term financial viability. The draft comprehensive plan, which has yet to be voted on by council, sets forth this problem, and the solution offered is to urbanize, to increase our tax base and revenue. There is a statement in there that if we do not urbanize, the alternative is to raise taxes. That is not a happy choice. But I ran for office to preserve the character and quality of life in this town, and the enormous hubs suggested by the plan seem out of character to me, which left the third rail, T word. It was my hope that writing the editorial would encourage awareness of the problem and spark productive conversation at the council level of our short and long-term plans to address this. I'm glad that the mayor spoke. I have no intention of undermining the hard work done by Councilwoman Landing and her Economic Development Committee towards economic development. That is important work. Economic development takes time, and as I understand it, it may be some time before we see the fruits of that labor that would eliminate our need to discuss this hard question. Economic development brings higher paying jobs, reduces traffic for employees who choose to live here, but that doesn't increase our tax base of residences because it's not adding houses. And if businesses are encouraged to come here with tax breaks, then that also doesn't add much to the bottom line in the end. There's also some confusion over the mayor's economic development panel. The mayor's editorial in the PNC stated that his panel will produce an economic development strategic plan, but at Economic Development Committee yesterday, committee members stated that the panel meetings they attended were just sort of brainstorming sessions and that no plan's being developed. And with this kind of uncertainty among stakeholders, I believe that such a plan, if forthcoming, could take years to help the town realize additional revenue. But I'm hopeful that council will be able to work together to develop a clear vision for the future financial health of our town. Thank you.
That was right at the two-minute mark. Did you practice?
I did not.
Good job.
That was good. Thank you very much. Any other comments? I anticipate, committee, that under item five, we'll, during our discussion, we'll have an opportunity to include and to incorporate some of the comments that we just heard. So item three, employee years of service recognition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of committee. Good morning. If I could have Christiane Farrell stand up next to me, please. Boy, do I got some stories for you. No, it's truly my honor and pleasure to present before you Christiane for 20 years of service to the town of Mount Pleasant, 20 years of excellent service. Many of you know her. I've known her for a long time, and you know what kind of person she is and what she brings to the town every day. Qualities that I think about when thinking about Christiane are smart, hardworking. She's committed to the organization and to the people here and very, very talented. You know that she serves as the assistant administrator now, but for many years, she was our planning director. And I want to take a brief second to talk about her time as planning director. She helped to lead this town, as you know, through very, very difficult growth pains, development pressure as it is today, but was even more so several years ago when Christiane was at the helm of the Planning and Development Department. She has a sign in her office, and it says, "Do something brave today and run like heck." And it's a great sign, and it's true in many ways, but it doesn't necessarily describe Christiane, because she did brave things often, but didn't run like heck. She planted her feet and stood her ground. And I believe personally that decades from now, many, many years, there are going to be historians that look back and think that we weathered these years very, very well. And there's going to be a whole slew of people to thank, and one of those people will be Christiane Farrell. So thank you for 20 years. Yeah.
Have Tony Herman come up, please. Tony is a graphic information system, GIS, technician for the town. She was our very first dedicated GIS technician of the town and showed us the power of that platform. The town now has a whole division of GIS. Tony maintains the town's addressing system, creates internal and external facing maps. She trains town staff on how to use GIS and GIS-related software. She tackled a significant version upgrade for the Public Services Asset Management System, and during that time, she went ahead and incorporated, I don't know, some streamlined changes with the workflow. She did an awesome job. She's a very valuable member of GIS, IT, the Administrative Services Department, the town, and an awesome coach of girls softball pitching. So we're very thankful to have her. So, Tony, thank you for 5 years.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Where did you
And if I can have Brittany Brunson-Wallace, please. Brittany is our accountant, but more so than that, she's our grants guru. You knew I was going to say that. She has successfully completed a program on grants management certificate for federal recipient program. What a mouthful. This coursework is designed to identify opportunities, which you'll see later by three federal grants on our agenda, successfully submit applications, win grants, and understanding the federal grant regulation and reporting performance. The coursework has four core programs and six elective courses. The courses deal with applications, cost principles, uniform administration, auditing, detecting, and preventing fraud, and financial administration for federal grants. Not only did Brittany successfully complete this program, but she did it in record time, in just 6 months. It is with pride and respect that I present the certificate to Brittany and an official fraud detection magnifying glass.
Okay. Any more?
No, but I have rock stars in my whole department.
I know
I will tell you,
the whole town, and I love when we do that. You know, there's so many people in this town doing a great job, and it's good to take that time and recognize them. Congratulations to everyone. The next item, discussion of unfunded town projects and initiatives. This was to appear on the agenda item for the committee meeting that we were going to have during the hurricane. And recognize the first word that says discussion of. There isn't any way in the world, or it's not intended for us to solve much of this right now. What the intent of this agenda item is to maybe shed a little light on the work that we have ahead of us. But the work that we have ahead of us is not for us four. It's for us nine. And in a weird way, I'm kind of looking forward to it because I know we'll get to the other end, but with Marcy and Eric and council staff, I'll probably recommend at the end of this that we ask the mayor to convene a meeting of everyone under the guidance of budget discussion and probably a few hours or more to just roll up our sleeves and figure out how we're going to solve this. So as we see things that will scare us, I'm not concerned because we're going to figure this out one way or the other. So Marcy, if you can show us the beautiful numbers.
Yes, sir. So you had asked us to kind of pull this information together. So what we've shown here are items that have been identified or are council initiatives that currently do not have funding identified in the town's general fund five-year financial plan. The first three items are the adopted CIP. These are items that are in the comprehensive improvement plan, capital improvement plan, but are in the out years is unfunded. And you can see transportation, recreation, public safety.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so in the out years they are unfunded, but will there be debt service millage that frees up to pay those in the future? Is all of that money accounted for?
We do not have in the next 10 years funding that will be freed up for this under our debt.
Under our current debt?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So then we have the Stormwater Improvement Program. That program in the 5 years is $31 million. In our current budget was an estimated $20 million that would be based on if the council chooses to raise stormwater fees to pay back the debt service on that. It would be a revenue bond. That hasn't happened yet, so it's still out there identified.
Right.
The purchase of the Wando docks, just as an estimate, we're working currently on getting something concrete to put in our next CIP. We put a price tag of $3 million based on what we've currently done out there. The Medal of Honor Heritage Center recently, the commitment was made for another 1.8 over 3 years. We did experience this year as an impact, and for the next, I only did it over the five-year window that I'm looking at, a reduction in our county accommodations tax of 1.75. Based on this current situation with our weather conditions each September and October, we realize that we need to look at the generators that we have and where we're housed as far as during emergencies. And then the Carolina Park Phase 3, the design work currently incorporates additional pieces, and that we estimate $1 to $1.5 million shortfall based on our current funding of that project and the design work going on. So that totals right under $300 million.
Okay. So before the committee weighs in, are there any, from both of you, any like overarching solutions that you see towards this? Will there be recommendations from you as to how to solve this?
I'd respectfully recommend that these requests receive priority. Mm-hmm. At the retreat last January, I made a presentation before you that estimated about 2% in revenue growth every year going forward. That's roughly $1.5 million of new money on the operational side. And included in that presentation was the knowledge that we have a $31 million payroll. So any 1% adjustment to employee salary, say, is $310,000. Anything above that, 3, 4%, you see how it eats in very quickly to the $1.5 million in new revenue. Now, that's not to suggest that's what you have to do with that money, but when you lump in 1% mandatory retirement increases from the state retirement system and expansion of services if we need new police officers or firefighters, the idea was that your operational budget couldn't stomach anything additional to what we have planned over the next 5 years. The idea was that your administrative staff could work within that new money to make the operations continue at the same level of service. It was said that anything above that was unfunded, and we did not have a plan or a pathway to get there. So even if you went ahead and prioritized these projects, we still wouldn't have the money to reach them.
Right. Okay. Any comments from the committee? Mr. Bustos.
Yeah. I'm wanting to understand this. We budget 1 year at a time. You know, we have a budget for 1 year. We look out 5 years for the CIP program. And then we have meetings, at the beginning of the year in which we prioritize things, add things to this, take them away. So I'm afraid if we looked at this 5 years out and said, we're going to find what we need to do to budget all this may not be in the budget when we get to our gathering at the beginning of the year. You know, priorities change, and you know, we need to think about that as well. Going out 5 years and saying from year two through five is unfunded and we need to find a way to fund it is a little misleading. So we need to understand what it is, because those priorities could change just as they changed with the fire department, just as they change with the school resource officers. Things change. So, you know, I think we just need to be careful with this, because if we look at this and say, okay, well, we're going to raise taxes to pay for all this, and then we take out some of those things, what we've done is a bait and switch on the taxpayer. So I think we need to be careful of what we're doing here.
Ms. Landing.
Good morning, everyone. So it is important, I think, that you know that, you know, we're looking at this, we're discussing it today. We haven't really had necessarily this format, although you might have sent it to us the last day or two. If so, I didn't see it the last day or two. I bring that up just to say, in initial thoughts on this are that, one, while it is true that economic development projects take time to come to fruition. We have some things that we have already done very recently that are already underway. Now, what's important about that is that the growth, we already know from prior meetings and discussions, both in council meetings and finance, that when you add a home, according to the numbers we've seen from various sources, if it isn't in the $750,000 to $800,000 range, it isn't paying for the services that the town provides. And so that means there's a whole lot of new property that was built in the last 10 years that caused more expense to the town but didn't necessarily generate the level of revenue. That said, we've had a lot of businesses come to town, but we have not had a focus on economic development the way we do now. To give you an example of this, there's a zoning code called economic development. It's designed to bring in businesses that could go anywhere, that could choose North Charleston or Savannah and not necessarily come to Mount Pleasant. It has not been used in quite a while. Now, there's projects going back a ways that had it, but very few. It's a wonderful code because what it does is it gives us a little flexibility, as Councilman Guangming Whitley said, it gives us a little flexibility on their costs initially, such as impact fees and so forth, as well as business revenue license fees, but they still bring business revenue license fees. They still pay property taxes, and in many, many cases, including ones that we've already had recently that we've already voted on, they annex into the town. So we take unincorporated property that was paying us zero, and we turn it into something that not only is going to probably employ a whole lot more of our citizens and keep them on this side of the bridge, but also generate property taxes, business revenue license fees, potentially impact fees, because, again, even if they've been reduced a little bit to get them to come here as opposed to North Charleston or Savannah or somewhere else, still in all, it does bring revenue that we didn't have. Now, very little of that has been incorporated into the projections. We know this because we saw the budget, and I asked questions about it at the time. And the reason was because some of it was still a little bit speculative. Some of it was a little bit hypothetical. But now we know there are some projects that have already been approved and are already underway, and there are several major ones that are coming. And so I just want to make sure everybody realizes it's good to have these discussions, and there's no reason why not to discuss it now. But at the same time, we do go through a budgeting process. We do go through a retreat in January where we talk aspirationally, and we also do go through numerous meetings of this committee as well as council to figure out how we're going to pay for things. And we will pay for things. It does not necessarily require, and I'll just say it does not require immediately saying we've got to increase millage. So I think what we have to do is just take all this in and start looking at, as a council body as well as this committee, how are we going to fund these things? And I personally feel this should stay in the body of council and not necessarily be debated or even raised as a concern in the public forum of media, because I think that what unfortunately that does is it does scare people when they don't necessarily have the whole picture. Thank you.
Mr. Santos?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at some of these things, I'm really not happy with the reduction in the county accommodations tax. I think that's a discussion for another day, but that's one of the things I think that we really ought to get with the county and talk about a little bit. As you will see in our next committee meeting, Recreation Committee, item number 7 is consideration of potential revenue generating events. You know, me and you have talked forever and ever about trying to use some of our existing facilities to bring in tournaments. Instead of having our children travel all over the place to play, to try and bring in some of those tournaments here so that we can get accommodations tax, sales tax, hospitality tax to help our local businesses. So I'm really encouraged, and I agree with your opening remarks that we need to sit down, all of us, and look at each one of these things and go through them very carefully. But I'm very happy and about the possibilities for recreation being able to bring in and generate revenue here that will help the town. So I'm looking forward to meeting and discussing this more often.
Okay. And we'll talk about that in a couple hours.
Yes, sir.
Great comments, everybody. It goes towards what I started off by saying, is that there will be Eric, can you help me with how I don't recall a long, laborious budget process this year. It seemed to go pretty smoothly. What's the opportunity for the Budget Committee, which is all of us, to sit and have these type of discussions?
That can happen any time.
Yeah.
We have moved up the budget calendar for next year by a month, so you'll have a little bit longer time to do that.
I don't believe we need to take any action. I'm staring at the mayor, hoping that the leadership, gets us all around the table to talk about this. This is not, will not be, and has never been the only tough year for budgets. It's real. It happens all the time. And like I said, we'll get through this. But it is good to know these things, so I'm glad that we did bring them up. Thank you. Any other comments by anybody on this? Good discussion. Presentation of economic development revenue projects.
The question was asked regarding revenue generation from economic development. Did I go too far? From projects. So these revenues generate both one-time and ongoing revenue. Businesses in the towns generate one-time for any potential impact fees or building permit fees. And, of course, the ongoing revenues are going to be your business license and your property tax if it's owned and not leased. Then other revenues that would, depending on the business type, they could also generate hospitality, accommodations, sales and use tax. So what we did is we can't show detailed information about any particular business, but we can kind of look in aggregate and look at different pieces. So what we kind of did is we said, here's an example of what some businesses would bring in ongoing revenue. So we show the business activity. We show, based on that activity, what their business license rate code is. One is the lesser business license. As it goes up, 7 is our higher, 8 are unique revenues. So we also estimate what that business could bring in gross receipts, because it's based on your activity and your gross receipts. And then we show what their business license tax would look like, and what percent does that represent of their actual gross receipts. We go on and we looked at some different businesses, looked at kind of some averages in property taxes, what kind of revenue that brings in. And then for the hotel and restaurant, we also added in some hospitality and accommodations to kind of give us a total revenue, ongoing revenue generation, and what does that look like as a percent of the revenue totals of gross receipts. So I hope this kind of captures all the questions that were asked.
Yes, Kathy.
I know this is something we could ask any time, but could we go ahead and have copies of all of this emailed to us?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And I have one question. And maybe it's your question, I'm not sure. But so when we sit for the budget meeting, will we be able to know when we take a look at the 1 year that we're dealing with, 2020-2021, any anticipated revenues that will come in for new projects in that time frame?
We do that every year. It's
right.
Part of your property tax number and your business license number and anything else that's affected.
Okay. Ballpark percentage of how that goes up each year?
New growth.
Yeah.
Whatever we know is in the town is reflected. That's what helped us produce that 2% number.
Yeah, right. Okay. Mr. Bustos.
Yeah, and this is a little bit off from economic development. Do we know? We know. No. When do you know what you know, right? The county is now withholding hospitality tax from us, a portion of it, correct?
Accommodations, yes.
Accommodations tax. And the state withholds. There's a fund that's we're supposed to get money from, and I can't remember the last time we received money from that. What's it called? It's been so long I can't even remember it.
I'm not sure. Are you referring to the local government fund?
Local government fund. And they've withheld that for years?
For years it's been underfunded, what was prescribed by state law. This past legislative session, they've passed a new law, which now establishes a base for local governments. So now what happens is Instead, it used to look backwards and say, here is a base, and then whatever happened the year before, you may or may not get a percentage of. Now there's a new base that's been established going forward, not to exceed 5%. So we have a true number going forward as to what we can expect to receive from the state.
Okay. So now we're going to start receiving?
No. It'll not be the amount that was expected for years, but it will never, because of the new legislation, it'll never be that amount. Now we have a fixed number that we know it'll be.
Okay.
We can never recapture that amount.
Okay. Well, I guess my question is, can we expect to start receiving some amount now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are we taking that in as well?
Yes.
We are. Okay. Okay. Because I'm thinking that if we were still receiving shortfalls, we need to start talking to the state and the county about that and say that, you know, we don't think it's acceptable that they give away our money that's rightfully coming to the town or using it for other things. Did the media hear that? Okay, good. Thank you.
What's more important is that the state and the county hears it. And
yeah.
We probably are going to have to officially decide how we make that request of them, and then again, who does it? And I don't know if that's a council discussion. I do believe that it doesn't need to be today, to start that. But we should be having at least today's anybody that can some informal discussions with their representatives and with our representatives, just to see if there's any way that we can recoup as much of that as possible.
You know, and one more thing while we're talking about money, we capped impact fees at 80%, which means that the taxpayer has to pay 20% of accommodating new growth. And I think it's time we go back and look at that. And, you know, the 80% was done in an abundance of caution. I think if it's 100%, and that was a study that was done, it wasn't a flip of a coin or an idea, I think that 20% can be useful. Mm-hmm. And we may look at raising that to 100%.
Ms. Finding?
Let me just say, in several different levels, because we've just covered a lot of ground, I did contact one of our county councilmen, Herb Sass, and he did give me very specific answers from Mac Gile in regard to this. And the first question I have is the $474,000 that we normally would receive, we're still receiving that for this year. It's the 2020 budget that we would expect would be reduced. Is that correct?
It took effect this year.
July 1.
Okay, so for the 2020, we consider that the 2020 budget, right?
We are being hit with that now.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. I understand. Okay, so it's the 2019/2020 fiscal year, I understand. All right, what was said was that any time that there's a major capital, let me start with the fact that the county was asked to give $5 million to the Medal of Honor Museum, Congressional Medal of Honor Museum, and they agreed. They voted on that and they agreed. There was nothing in the paper or anywhere else that said, and oh, by the way, of that $5 million over the next 10 years, a substantial portion, actually approximately 3.5, if I do the math on it, about 3.5 of that five is really going to come from the A-tax that's normally paid to Mount Pleasant of the money that's collected from our accommodations. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So what really happened there was the Medal of Honor Museum went to the county for a $5 million ask and went to the town of Mount Pleasant for a $3 million ask. And what really came out of it was that we essentially are bearing approximately $6.5 million of the total ask of $8 million. So what was explained to me was that the reduction, which they say they use every time, including the African American Museum and the North Charleston Convention Center, is that when there is a major capital project, they reduce what we receive back of our capital. That seems almost illogical to me. If we're collecting taxes here and paying it to the county. Is that, that's how, well, county collects it. But, I mean, if the county collects taxes based on our accommodations, and then normally they would funnel it back to us, and they would therefore be, it would be part of our budget every year, which is what we had pretty well assumed because we didn't have the Medal of Honor as a request at that time. Okay, so for future planning, we had a budget that included that money. And then they approve something because we now have a capital project, and they are now going to withhold the money so that they can pay it. It seems to me that we're essentially being punished for something that is going to bring, because there's very little doubt the Medal of Honor Museum will bring a lot of additional visitors. And let's face it, we have people in the room right now that are responsible for a lot of the hotels and accommodation that will happen around that project. So I think what we do need to do is go back logically and talk about this with the county, because their explanation is we're going to give that money, but really we're going to take it, we're going to withhold it from you that we normally would have. You're really going to pay for it. So I think we do need to go back. I don't think that logic holds very well, especially when you consider that the Medal of Honor Museum project is going to help the entire area in terms of visitors, in terms of prestige, in terms of patriotism, and in terms of all the other reasons why you would want to have such an incredible project here. It just happens to be housed in Mount Pleasant. So that's what I have to say about that. And then on impact fees, in talking to businesses and meeting with entrepreneurs who have already located here and who love Mount Pleasant, in many cases they love to live here or they live very close by, like Sullivan's, but they chose Mount Pleasant because of the fact that they wanted their employees to be able to have the choice of our wonderful schools, the quality of life we have that we work so hard to preserve. One of the things that I am hearing is because we raise those impact fees to the 80% level, it is making it harder and harder for new businesses to choose Mount Pleasant. And so there are ways, such as businesses that have left within the last 5 years and had already paid impact fees, so if it's a smaller company and they're coming in, there are ways to work around it in the sense that the impact fee's already been paid. But when you start talking about trying to bring something that's a really good-sized project that can really bring high-paying jobs, I think it's still very important that we remember that that we want those businesses. We want the ongoing revenue. We want the 10 to 20 years worth of great jobs and people living here who want to be here. And we want the property taxes and the business licensing fees for many years. And if we focus so much on that up front, we're, it's basically cutting off your nose to spite your face. We are absolutely going to deter other businesses from choosing to be here. So I just want people to realize that there is a difference of opinion on this, and I'm out there talking to businesses all the time that we're trying to recruit. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Landig. I think you have a very clear understanding of the accommodations tax issue facing. Again, I feel like just having discussion doesn't move the ball, and I think we need to have a decision on what is that step. How do we get to them? Who goes to them, and under what? And I don't know if that's a discussion we should have with the whole council. I believe it is, or maybe it's something we could do here. But we need to figure out what we're going to do. If 30 more days goes by and 60 more days go by, and we're just sitting up here talking again about how it bothers us, I think it could be difficult. They have their Eric, is it their finance committee that, because that's a committee of the whole with county council, would that be the body that we should address if it's something we wanted to do?
Yes, sir, I think so.
May I make a suggestion? Yes. So in our last meeting when we had approved the Medal of Honor Museum expenditure, and we were told by Mr. DeMora, like the Friday before, the Thursday before, we received an email that had come through, I think planning perhaps, but about this ATAX fee situation. And we said, okay, the next step, they clearly said staff had done all they can. And it's time for someone else, perhaps leadership, to step up, which is why I went back to Herb Sass, asked for the numbers, got the details, have it right here. That's why I was reading off of that. And I do believe the next step, I don't know if it's a form of a motion or whether it's simply that we agree to have a mini task force of some of us to go talk, but I absolutely would like, I volunteer to be part of that task force to go present to the county and find out what we can do about this and try to persuade them why we are going to be able to bring great additional business to the community, and therefore we need to look at this ATAX fee situation a little differently.
Okay. Eric, the issue, though, is they're not doing anything against state law. I mean, they're allowed to do this, right?
That's right.
So we're just asking them to change the whole methodology. That might be hard. But Ms. Lenny, you're quite a persuasive person.
Well, it doesn't need to be a committee of one. It should be several of us.
Well, we'll stand behind you.
I think, though, that has to, before any one or two or three can go to county council, has to have the blessing of the entire council, because we will be asking them to speak in the name of the council. So this is something that if you want to make a motion, that we make a recommendation that several people be designated to go to, I'd say the county, and go to the state as well, as soon as we can determine, you know, what they're withholding from us, mm-hmm. and talk to them.
I make a motion that we appoint a task force to go to speak to the county and perhaps the state, as Councilman Bustos has said, to encourage the county to rethink the way they handle the ATAX fee when it comes to this particular project. And it may end up applying to other projects.
Can the motion be to recommend to full council?
Yes, correct.
To do that?
I know we can't do it here at this level, but yes, okay. It's a motion for us to vote on.
So there's a motion on the floor. Second. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion on that? Okay, all in favor, please signify by saying aye. I'm sorry. Boy, you're so quiet, Mr. Santos.
Well, I'm just listening. This just goes back to my original statement I made at the very beginning about the accommodations tax with the county. I'm listening to the discussion. I'm glad we're having this discussion, but that's why I wanted to say it at the very beginning, because it's very important and we need to do this.
Yes. Okay. Well, we agree. Okay, so we have a motion, second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Great discussion. Thank you. Okay. The next agenda item is consideration of the amendment to Ordinance 19008 to reduce acreage and sale price regarding property located at Walt Miller Drive. What I understand in this is that we've been through this discussion. It has gone to council. It has been approved. But during the process of doing it, the acreage was a little different from the appraiser. It was a town-appointed appraiser. And the consideration today is to just put an ordinance in place to amend that. Is that accurate, Eric?
You're exactly right, Mr. Chairman. I mean, just real simply, there was an agreement to purchase it at a certain size. It turns out to be smaller, so we're reflecting
right.
proportionally that amount, which comes out to $33,540.50. Is the sort of pro rata share once you reduce the
right.
acreage. So with your blessing, we'd like to proceed with that.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion. A second? We have a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is the consideration of an acceptance of fiscal year 2018 staffing for adequate fire and emergency response grant for 6 firefighters. This is a SAFER grant that's been discussed through the fire committee.
Yes, sir. The town has been awarded that grant. The grant represents a 3-year commitment for 6 new firefighters. It's a federal and local diminishing cost share where the town picks up 100% of the cost in year 4. The year 1 cost share is estimated to be around $89,000 and is budgeted in the current year with one-time funds. Town Council acceptance of this grant is required.
Okay. Any discussion by the committee? Ms. Lanny?
So we went through a lot of discussion and effort to have a strategic plan with the idea of building on our fire staff, especially with the fact that the town has grown so much, and this was a way of having the opportunity to add folks that would be very, very beneficial to the efforts that we have to protect our citizens. And by the fact that for the first 2 years we're only bearing 25% of that cost, I think it's certainly a great way to increase our response ability at a much lower cost than would be typically the case if we were simply hiring people outright without the grant. So I think it makes sense to accept this grant and move forward with the 6 additional firefighters.
Is that a motion?
I think we should ask before we make the motion, should we ask for any comment from Chief Nixon?
Would you have any comments, sir?
So, yeah, thank you. Thank you again for continuing to help us support the strategic plan. So these 6, as you see on that bottom sentence, are going to help us support that ladder truck at station number 4 when it's rebuilt in 2021. And I know there's a big ask of staff, a staffing increase in our strategic plan, but this one specifically for the ladder truck we feel is very important. That area around 6 Mile and Isle of Palms has gone vertical. With apartments and hotels and things of that nature, big box stores. So we need some additional staffing in that area. But also it's a strategic location because our 2 ladder trucks are currently on the south and the north end of town. So any commercial response gets 2 ladder trucks. So at this point, if we have something at Patriots Point or in the north area of town at the Costco area, we're sending 2 ladder trucks as it is, and it's a really long response time. So placing that ladder strategically in the center of town is really going to help with efficiency, response times, increased staffing in that area. So this piece is pretty crucial to that ladder truck.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Please know that the town's portion of bringing on these firefighters is included in next year's proposed budget, which has the tax increase for the 30-plus firefighters. If that doesn't happen, then we'll be absorbing these firefighters in that 2% growth number that I mentioned a moment ago.
Can I ask a question about that? You just said 30-plus firefighters, and that's the aspirational over 5 years.
That is 6. The approved, council-approved strategic plan for the fire department.
Right, but we're just talking about 6 right now.
It's part of that number, correct.
Right, yep. Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we accept the Safer Response Grant and make that as part of our ongoing budget,
okay,
as stated.
Do we have a second?
Sorry.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Discussion
Gary.
Phase?
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm sorry, Gary.
I'm being blocked down here. You don't see.
No, I know. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make ask a question about federal regulations. I remember it was brought up that this will bring us closer to the federal regulations or guidelines that Councilmember Cunane had spoken about. Is that what this is doing as well?
Yes, sir. So our first step in that was to bring the level of the ladder staffing up to 4 minimum, and this will help us do that at this additional ladder as well. We're hoping to get 15 to staff that ladder so that with vacation and things like that, we can have 4 minimum all time. So it does put us, for our ladder trucks, to that national standard.
That's very important. I think the public needs to know that we're not just putting these guys out there, but it's also getting us to where we need to be with the federal regulations as well.
Is that a national standard or a federal regulation?
It's a standard.
Standard.
Yes, sir, not
yeah.
a regulation.
Yeah. That's from the
NFPA, National Fire Protection Administration.
Yeah, okay, insurance folks, yeah.
Okay. I don't think you're allowed to talk, Ms. Whitley. Would you like to make a comment? You may if you go to the podium.
So sorry, but Eric spoke very softly when he said his statement, and I wanted to ask this committee if there's any further discussion of council and Eric, if you can clarify, council approved the fire department strategic plan, which adds 30 firefighters. This grant includes 6. And you stated that for the next budget year, there's a 3.5 mil tax increase in that budget to cover these 30 firefighters. Is that correct?
There's nothing in any budget right now.
A proposed
budget. There are proposals by staff.
Okay.
And
no, sir.
Yes.
It's when council points the way and makes a decision, we're obligated to include it. And when the moment that strategic plan was approved, that number gets put in the budget because that's our obligation. And so it's how many?
31.
So the inclusion of the 31 firefighters into the budget is in the outlook, year two of the five-year plan, that can only possibly be supported with additional revenue. It can't be absorbed.
Here's my point. We're having a meeting on something that really wasn't on the – this was not an agenda item. The agenda item right now is whether we approve or don't approve the grant. We all got the strategic plan, and we've all adopted the strategic plan. But for right now, we're pretty much approving this grant or not approving this grant. We have a motion. We've got a second. And if we can take the vote, I think we can move on. But – and us solving financial problems of the town from the fire department right now at this meeting at this time is not what we're going to do. So we have a motion, a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Anything else, Mr. Santos?
No, sir.
All right. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Okay. Let's move on. We have a series of grants.
You have learned how to tap dance on the head of a pin.
I know. There you go. I have a good teacher. item 9, consideration of acceptance of a 2019 port security grant for police safe boat.
Yes, sir. The town has been awarded the Department of Homeland Security's fiscal year 2019 port security grant for the purchase of a police safe boat. The boat is to provide an expansion of current marine capabilities. It is a federal and local cost share where the town picks up 25% of the cost, or $96,171. The cost share is budgeted in the current year with one-time funding. Town Council's acceptance of this grant is required.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor or comments? Mr. Bustos?
How much does this boat cost?
That's a big boat.
The total is $384,683.
How are y'all going to crew that? Is that you're going to have a crew on that all the time, or is that
anytime it's in the water they'll have a full crew?
Anytime it's called out, you'll have crew.
But it's not going to be in the water all the time.
Okay. How long is that,
Chris?
27 feet.
Any other questions?
No, that's it. I was just curious.
Ms. Landy.
I have a question. We have a boat now that we know is in storage and then brought out when it's needed. Will we be trading that in, keeping it as a backup? What would we do with that one?
We will keep that boat as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Santos.
One question. You know, with the phase two of the parking expansion down there, we're going to have a slip for the police boat. Is that where this boat will be domiciled?
That's correct.
Good. A lot faster response to emergencies and requests from Coast Guard to respond to things as well.
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. When Mr. Santos and I were talking this morning, I said if I was younger, I'd try to get trained to hold that job. That sounds like that would be pretty fun. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. So we will go to item 10. Which is consideration of a 2020 highway safety grant for traffic safety, police officer, and vehicle.
Yes, sir. The town has been awarded the South Carolina Department of Public Safety fiscal year 2020 highway safety grant. This grant represents a three-year commitment for an additional traffic safety police officer and a vehicle. It is a federal grant that provides 100% funding for 3 years, with the town incurring 100% of the cost in year four. Town Council's acceptance of this grant is required.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Santos?
I think this is very important. You know, we're getting pretty crowded on our streets around here, and I think this is going to be really help us a little bit. I think it's a good idea.
All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, item 11, consideration of stormwater management program fee collection agreement with the County of Charleston.
The town stormwater fee collection agreement with Charleston County expires at the end of the calendar year. The contract was for 5 years from 2014 through 2019. The proposed new agreement is also for 5 years and at the same compensation rate of 2% of gross collections. By the county serving as the town's collection agency, the town realizes a higher collection rate with the fee included on the property tax bills.
Mr. Bustos?
I'll make a motion to does this have to go to council?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion to recommend the full council approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Just,
Kathy?
Just one thing. I want to make sure that it's really clear. So this is something that they collect this on the bill already. That will expire because it's an agreement with the county. We're basically just renewing the agreement that they will collect it for us.
Yes, ma'am.
There's really no increase or anything. Yeah, just want to make sure that people are aware of that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, time for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, item 12, resolution authorizing the execution and delivery of a second amendment to payments in lieu of tax agreement by and between the town of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and each of Ferry Wharf LLC and Patriots Annex to provide for additional property to be subject thereto.
Yes, sir. The town received a request for a second amendment to the payment in lieu of taxes or pilot for the Parcel E at Patriots Point. In 2016, Parcel E was amended to establish a model pilot agreement for properties that are owned by the Patriots Point Development Authority and subject to lease agreements between the authority and a developer. This second amendment is requested to add Parcel 1 and Patriots Point LLC to that pilot agreement. It also removes an inadvertent reference for Ferry Wharf Cottages, which already has its own pilot agreement.
Motion to approve.
I was just going to ask, can we just get a little bit more background? I realize some people may already realize what it is, but.
So there were five, they called them fee in lieu of taxes agreements that were done, and then in 1999 they were changed, and those five became pilots as they're referred to now. So, at that time, they took one of those five that was over Parcel E. And they said, they modified it slightly, and you can see the changes, and they said this is kind of our model. And that pilot allows for them, if they meet the criteria, to add additional parcels as they go along. They would make the request. It gives the town council, I think it's 75 days to respond. And then, so what they've done is they're saying, okay, we have another one. It's separate and aside from anything else. It goes by itself independently with no dates of ending or anything else. And they said, okay, now we have a new parcel, Parcel 1, which you've been looking at as Patriots Annex. And it says we want to add that to our model agreement. And they'll continue to utilize Parcel E's pilot every time another piece of land meets the criteria and they want to add it. In a pilot, we get the most we can. We can't get property tax. What we can get is improvements on the property, and we can get business personal property, but we can't tax the state land. So the pilot agreement puts the town in the best position to gather as much revenues as it can for the services that are provided.
I think we saw, Han and I would actually, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
it was a continuation of my question. Would it help if James could come up and share, because I have a question or two for you.
Sure.
Hi, I'm James Wilson with Wobblebon Dickinson here on behalf of the applicant.
And your address?
At 722 Dragoon Drive in Creekside.
Okay. So my question is, what is in it for y'all? What is the reason for asking this? How does this help you?
This is continuing the exact same taxation or payment in lieu of tax for all of the development that's currently out at Patriots Point right now. Of course, you have the two hotels and the marina. And the important thing, as Marcy has explained, is that this requires full payment of taxes to the town. The town gets full millage on any of these buildings. And that the most important thing, this is a way to ensure, in fact, that the town gets that. Since it's state-owned land out there, state-owned land, government-owned land, of course, is not taxed. But the buildings, the improvements, will do this pay in lieu instead of direct property taxes. It's the exact equivalent, though. And again, it's just continuing exactly the regime that's already out there. And we do the same thing with the county as well. We're in process, do the same process with the county and tee it up to do it with them just like we always do.
So as a continuation of my question,
sure.
Thank you very much for telling what it does for the town. What does it do for y'all?
Oh, right. In truth, I guess ideally we wouldn't have either property taxes or a payment in lieu of tax agreement, and we just wouldn't pay anything. But so in terms of what it does for us is, I guess, I don't think we're getting anything out of it. I think we're just agreeing and committing that, of course, we should pay our share just like everyone else. And since the state-owned land is not taxable, we do it through a payment in lieu. So to be honest, Ms. Lanning, I'm not sure that we really get anything out of it.
So it sounds like it's more of a mechanism for consistency.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
Of the other properties that are there.
And it's fair.
Okay.
It's right.
Okay. Thank you.
And it's generous. I mean, what you're doing, in my opinion, as good neighbors and hopefully participants in what we're doing here with the town, is you're making sure that we get what we're owed. Somebody's getting it.
Right.
And so it's being us. So I think there's some generosity in there, too.
Well, we, of course, are glad to do the fair share, and it was interesting to see the economic development projections up there and to see that hotels and restaurants, of course, which will be a central part of this, pay the biggest percentage toward the town.
Okay. Any more continuation
thank
of
you.
The question, Ms. Lanning?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I restate my motion to
okay,
approve.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it passes. And budget amendment for reserves for fire engines.
Yes, sir. The adopted fire department strategic plan includes two objectives that look at their apparatus. As part of the strategic plan, they evaluated their equipment based on the American Public Works Association guidelines. The plan that they developed as a result of this study is to reduce the number of reserve units but at the same time replace the remaining units with new engines. It is anticipated that by trading in equipment, using some existing equipment funding, and allocating funding that was returned from our first vehicle, the town's fleet maintenance contractor, that sufficient funding will be available for the purchase of two new reserve units.
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
I was going to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I didn't say it fast
That's
enough.
Okay.
Sorry. So just clarifying again, I apologize. So budget amendment, what we're amending is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old equipment as part is that we're going to be trading in essentially old